Have compassion for everyone you meet, even if they don't want it. What seems like bad manners or cynicism or conceit is always a sign of things no eyes have seen or ears have heard. You don't know what wars are going on down where the spirit meets the bone. But ring the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. Each year we tell this story. Maybe not with balloons, but we tell the story. Each year on Pentecost, we turn to Acts chapter 2 and read again how a sound from heaven, like the howling of a fierce wind, ushers in the Spirit's arrival. If you've ever found yourself trapped in a howling windstorm, you know it is disorienting, chaotic, but most of all, the wind is powerful. These are the words we don't often associate with the Holy Spirit. Too often we say it's Christ's spirit or it's God's spirit. The spirit seems to be controlled by someone else and therefore a little bit manipulated. However, that is not the Pentecost story that has been passed down to us. In fact, without the Spirit, without Pentecost, there is no Easter. There's no Good Friday. There's no Palm Sunday. There's no Christmas. It would have been lost. But the Spirit poured out on those who gathered and continues to pour out, which is why we're here today. I can remember going to the Basilica of St. Mark in Venice, Italy. And some of you may have been there before. I know we have some people who have been to Venice. It's this breathtakingly beautiful religious site. And if I had gone today, I probably would have appreciated it a lot more. I would have thought about who worshiped there, the different moments in history, and how the Spirit was moving for them in their time. However, I was just not in that place in my life to be thinking about that. I was a tourist, but I was interested in all the artwork that was surrounding that place. And there was one piece in particular that sat just behind the altar. And from a distance, I could see it. It was gold, and there was these two figures in the middle, and surrounding themselves was this crowd of people, and their hands were outstretched to those two people. And at the top was a sun, and these little squiggles came down, and they kind of fell along the people there. And it wasn't until later, when I purchased the book from the gift shop, it said that that was the Pentecost story, that it was Peter and Paul in the middle, and the outside were the apostles. But I can remember looking at the picture from far back, and as I got up closer, the picture was still there, but it became pixelated, because the artwork in St. Mark's is mostly mosaic. Small little tiles, when you put them together, form these pictures. And so when I got up closer, I could see how the artist had to put all of these together in the perfect way to communicate the story. And I was just fascinated. And I focused on this one obscure piece that was on Paul's robe, thinking, how did the artist know to put that there? Because if I were to take that section of the portrait out, maybe 6 inches by 6 inches, and set it aside and showed people, they probably wouldn't see a work of art. They'd probably just see a bunch of mix. But when you take that and you put it back in, you see how it fits. Mosaics are great for that. Each piece, no matter how small, is extremely important for the whole. Yet it does not fully stand out on its own. The artist knew its value and where to move it in relationship with other pieces to ultimately form this picture and tell this larger story. I believe this is an expression of fellowship. Fellowship is more than sharing baked beans and delicious cake. It is that, but it's also more than that. Fellowship is what springs up when people who are different find something in common. When that something in common is shared by different people. The pieces, while different in shape and color, were extremely valuable in order to make the picture. Now, before Pentecost, before the story we just read happens, we do not have a full picture of how God's story through Christ goes into the world as we go from Easter into Pentecost. And it's less this beautiful mosaic picture and more like a giant bucket filled with an array of tiles, differing in shape and colors and sizes. Acts 2 says that they look like Parthians and Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, and other groups. Not only are there different tiles, but historically Jews living in Jerusalem and Jews living in Galilee were not best friends. They were rivals that had despised themselves for a long time. And so they clashed with each other. Peter will also mention that what is going on is what the prophet Joel described, along with different groups of Jews. This moment includes sons and daughters, the young and the old, even servants are among those in this bucket. And what comes next is loud, chaotic, disorienting. And in the text, it is that loud, chaotic, disorienting moment that they experience together that signals the arrival of the Holy Spirit and its power. Immediately, those who gathered were filled with the Holy Spirit and, like an artist just given this bucket of random pieces, begins to move and work, enabling one another to listen to each other in their own language and their own experiences. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, they connect. They discover, they begin forming new relationships and find their value in the greater picture. And we know that this is more than just social. Peter is trying to describe what is going on by saying, Joel told us, sons and daughters will prophesy. Young and old will see visions and dream dreams. In other words, this is not just fellowship among people, but because of the Spirit, God's self enters the room. God's self enters into fellowship with those gathered. And then each person is communicating both with one another and with God. Each person is equal to and has access to participate, regardless of gender or status or culture or even belief. The Spirit blurs all those boundaries and transcends that which divides. And they unite in one common portrait, living God's ways, by dreaming possibilities, envisioning with God what the world could be. And so today we celebrate the birth of the church in this moment and in a world that is fractured politically, socially, religiously, in which loud and chaotic moments are all too common. We come together in the Spirit. Here, we create an oasis of God's kingdom, not focused on what separates us, but what brings us closer to one another, which is what brings us closer to God. And a way of living that reveals who God is, which is a people concerned with feeding those who are hungry, clothing those who are naked, comforting those who are lonely, healing those who are sick, and restoring the dignity of those who have been pushed to the margins. And it is the power of the Holy Spirit that transforms us through fellowship and encourages us to be the hands and feet of Christ. I was reminded this week that the Spirit doesn't just work through the church, but in large and small ways all around us. As I sat at a coffee shop reading a book, through my headphones I could hear someone coughing. It was a very loud cough, and I lost my place in my reading. And I paused a while before I started again, and I found my place, and I kept reading. I was a little annoyed, turned up my music a little bit so I could focus and read. I need that quiet or that centering time. And while I did that, thank goodness someone else in the coffee store coffee shop, she closed her book. She didn't ignore the noise. She reached into her purse, pulled out a cough drop, walked over to that person, and offered both the cough drop and to get her a cup of water. Right there in that small and simple gesture of compassion, I felt a breeze. Theologian Jorgen Moltmann writes, "The church has no monopoly over the Holy Spirit, nor is the Spirit under its control," which is good news. After all, look at the harm the church has done in its history, the violence the church has sponsored, the exclusion and oppression the church has and continues to endorse. The rise of Christian nationalism alone, which has a desire not to live in harmony, but by forcing its will on others, even if it's harmful or oppressive. And so Moltmann goes on to say that the Holy Spirit is only concerned with the church as the church is concerned for the community. That was the church born at Pentecost. And if we choose the church that we live into, not for the sake of this is the way we've always done it, not for the sake of just meeting nice people, which we do, not for the sake of just being church for that reason, but for the church to be an instrument of the Holy Spirit, is creating a place where all are welcome and valued, is to be concerned with the well-being of the community, and to be an oasis of good news in a divided world. I know for a fact that there are some in the community that look at our church and think we are just a random piece of tile that does not fit. It's rainbow colors, its shape doesn't fit. And we don't. We may not fit the picture of church or Christianity of others. And that's okay. Because our value and our worth does not come from others, but it comes from the power of the Holy Spirit, which is moving in new and exciting ways. Because as we feel tension rising in our nation, as we feel it reverberating in our own community, as we feel it rising in our personal lives, we have a question. How will we let the Spirit move through us? Will we be like the ones outside, like the Pentecost story, questioning the sobriety of the Spirit and its movement? Or will we be the ones allowing the Spirit to transform us through fellowship with others, to see visions, to dream dreams of what God's mosaic of love and justice could be? Amen. Amen. Amen.